So this morning we're going to talk about 2022, a year of deeper connections and greater fruitfulness. And what I really want to do is, I talked about that a little bit, plus mixed in faith last week, but I want to take that even a lot deeper this morning. We prayed about this as a staff. We introduced it to you guys last week, and I know some of the questions got to be, well, what's that really mean? At the bottom of the day, what is deeper connections, greater fruitfulness? What are you getting at? If the Holy Spirit gave that to us as we prayed, what's he trying to connect with us? What's he trying to say? What's he trying to speak? And what I love about connections, whether it be with the Lord and the Holy Spirit or with you and me or you and your wife, men, how you met your wives, or wives, how you met your husbands or a neighbor, it came with relationship. And relationships start with conversations. And at the end of the day, we got to take things way back to the very beginning. And you know, as we begin to have conversations, and we may go out and have dinner together as couples, I may take one of you guys out, and we may go out and have coffee together, and to learn more about you and to go deeper, I have to do what? I have to ask a lot of questions, or I let you ask a lot of questions. I'm hoping you are curious, and you do have a lot of questions, so that, boy, that makes the time go by really fast. Another way to get to know your mate is go on a long driving trip, and if you can keep her awake, then you can have great deep conversation with the questions. But keep in mind that men, if you're the driver, a lot of times you got to come up with them questions to keep them alive. Otherwise, they just lay over there against that window, and that's the last you see them until 1,000, 1,200 miles down the road. But questions are such relationship builders. And if we can leave the you're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong out of it and just talk, just have the question on the table, which is so important for me. A lot of times I ask questions because I don't know. A lot of times I ask questions because I'm seeking to know where you stand on an issue or don't stand on an issue. And so that's where it begins. Deeper connections really comes down to knowing. I'm knowing you. Get to knowing you better. Getting to know who you are, what you are, what you like, what your favorite color is, all of these things. I watch... And I'll be honest, we as guys, most of us miss these integral points. Men, do you really know your wife? Do you really know her love language? Do you really know her favorite color? Can you go to Starbucks and pick up her coffee for her and know what she has? Are you listening or are you just functioning in life? There's some things that I don't want to know. Because I've got them wrong a couple times, and I'm not willing to go there again. I do not go pick my wife out clothes. No, that doesn't work for me whatsoever. Now, I've seen guys that have done that, knowing, and I'm not one of them. But knowing, and a lot of this deeper connection, that knowing has started for me right out of the gate with Jesus long ago. Knowing God, knowing Jesus, knowing the Holy Spirit, who they were, what their rightful spot was, and I had to ask a lot of questions. Grew up in the church. Everybody thought I knew the answers, but no one really explained all these things until I began to ask questions. So as I grew up, I knew my dad's God, was not interested in him whatsoever. I mean, those of you that heard me speak before, that's pretty right up there. My dad's God would We didn't see eye to eye on much of anything. And so then I asked God, how do I get to know you? He says, I want to know you and be your God, Bert. And he wants to do that for each and every one of us. My wife can't know my God. She's got to know God on her own. I will not be able to carry my wife into heaven. She will not be able to carry me in there. I will not be able to carry my children or anyone else. I need to know God on my own. And when I began to find out who God was for me, he was the same God that my dad was, but we just saw him through two totally different pictures, two totally different paradigms, if you want to call it, two totally different lenses. The colors were different. The temperament was different. There were so many things that were different there. Same God at the end of the day. It's just the way he perceived him and the way I perceived him were totally different. And I love that freedom of God going, I want you to know me for who I am in your life. And I want to give you freedoms in that. And again, so deeper relationships start for me and God started with me asking him deeper questions, and then I had to sit still and have him answer me back. Sometimes he'd answer me through one of you as I've asked the questions. Sometimes he'd answer through the word. This word is so, I cannot speak highly enough about the word of God, how it continues year after year after I read it, new stuff jumps off the page. It's like God rewrites some things in there from year to year. And it gets so exciting when I get new revelations from that. Sometimes I hear God just out in nature. Sometimes I can be reading someone's something they wrote and they have scripture in there and the way they saw it through their lens speaks deeply to my heart. Sometimes it's just music. Sometimes it's my wife speaking to me or me just looking at my wife and my family, and God speaks deep things in there. The interesting thing that I find with God and I, he's always asking me, can you slow down a little bit? Can you be still? Bert, can you be still for a season? So if I stood up here for the next 10 minutes and said nothing, and the dead air, there'd be some of you that would be so nervous in this room. Some of you would go for coffee. Some of you would go to the bathroom or at least use that for an excuse. Some of you go, I have no idea what he's doing. But just that quietness of being still just does something within us that we really need to practice to do. During the several weeks I spent in the hospital, God had me kind of right where he wanted me. Especially in the dark of night, man, there was a lot of be still time. There was I wasn't going to go to sleep. I could watch that clock go round and round, and Lord, do you want to say something? And he spoke a lot of things. God isn't always just a chattery, you know. He just ain't a magpie neither. I find God loves to react to my questions. Loves to react to my thoughts and my deep stuff that's going on. But he doesn't just fill me full of information that's going to go nowhere. A lot of times he wants to answer those deep cries that are deep within you. And that takes questions and waiting for answers. And that's what we need with each other here. Deeper relationships. Deeper connections, greater fruitfulness, but to go deeper in our relationships, we gotta start somewhere. And so Jesus started with a question, and this question would be for you again here today. This the same question come up if he was standing up here alongside me, and he says, "Bert, can I ask him a question?" Of course, I'd move aside and he'd say, "Who do people say that I am?" That would be one of his questions that he would ask you this morning. And then he'd if he was went a little deeper south and maybe even in here in Kentucky, he'd go, what do y'all say? Who do y'all say I am here today? You know, he'd fit into our culture quite fine, and and he would go. So if we move over to Matthew chapter 16, I think Glenn said I can do this. I don't even know why they let me do technology. There we go. Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So was he looking for a popularity contest? Or was he seeing if these guys that have been hanging out with him for a couple years, if they were hearing anything out there, and what they were catching on as well, what they were hearing. So they said, yeah, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" So deeper connection. Jesus right there is asking a deeper connection question. You've been walking with me for several years. You've been watching me. You've been with me through the miracles and the non. Who do you say I am? And I believe he'd ask you that same question this morning. Who do you, each one of you sitting in these chairs here at New Song, each one of you sitting and watching us through the camera, who do you say that he is, Jesus is in your life? How would you explain Jesus to your lost neighbor, to your cousin who grew up the same way you did, but seemed like they're as lost as a baseball over in the weedy lot? Who do you say I am in your life? How do you ask that question? How deep do you go with it? Or do you just ask it and they say they don't know, so you move on to another subject? This was a question Jesus really wanted to know. Who do you say I am in 2022 this morning? And that's a question I want you to think about today. Who do you say is? Because this is all about a deeper connection with Christ, number one. And then these are going to be the same types of questions you'll be able to ask each other in these groups going forward. So Simon Peter answered and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." See, so does that mean that Peter had a connection with the Father in heaven? I mean, it was revealed to him by that Jesus said, that's who it was revealed by. It's really cool when we look at these connections and we go, who's speaking to who, and are you sitting so you're listening? And now I'm asking you all these questions. Have you been paying attention? And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And he says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples that they should not go tell that he was Jesus the Christ. But just think about the deep connection that was going on here that Jesus was searching for. Who do you got? See, Jesus had these 12 guys around him, and he wanted to know who he was. He says, "Are you guys getting this yet? Are you grabbing a hold of this?" If I walk with a lot of my guys, see, it's interesting. When the guys, when I'm walking guys out of addiction, or anyone out of addiction, it's a 2 to 5 year process. Well, Jesus took 3 years and walked with his disciples. See, he's right in the middle of that process of what's it take to build relationship and to get a deep connection so that you can walk in total freedom. Why do we need deeper connections? Why do you sitting in these chairs need deeper connections? Life is better with deeper connection. It would be the simplest thing, but life gets richer with connections. Life is more, opens up more doorways with connections. Life has so much more to give than me and Carr and my few, and then we lock the door and go in and we never see anybody outside of that. And a lot of people, a lot of your neighbors are doing that. You'll see their taillights go in their garage, and that's the last you'll see of them until you see them go out, maybe if you're watching, to go to work. And why are we watching? I wonder what it would be like to have a connection with. I wonder what it would be like if I could. And that's part of what we're trying to do through these life groups is give you an opportunity to have deeper connections, not only with your family and the friends in the church, but let's talk about how we can do that with our neighbors. Those in our neighborhood that we just see them out washing their car on a sunny day, possibly. We don't see them anywhere else. How do we find and make deeper connections with them? And Jesus was really cool. He began to ask questions. How do you relate with your neighbor? Hey, a question. Hey, I'm your neighbor. What's your name? Question involved. That means information gets exchanged, and you can go from there. And then you can read body language in a hurry. But then, you know, if it gets stiff and it gets cold, you know, we go back in our little houses and we go, well, they didn't want to. But let's invite the Holy Spirit in. How do we go deeper? How do we do that in here as a body? How do we go deeper? So at the end of this, these verses, we have that Peter steps up and declares that you are Lord. You are, here's what he says here. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter started to get this because he'd been around, he'd paid attention, we know Peter, he was the guy that stuck his foot in his mouth more than anybody. He asked a lot of questions, got himself in a lot of trouble. And how did he know? Well, he knew because he'd listened to the Father. He knew that he'd been in there and had a relationship long enough. Where was this knowledge coming from? It was coming from his question asking and the knowledge that he picked up as he was listening. And we can pick up a lot of knowledge from listening. And then, again, I want to talk about knowledge and belief. Your beliefs are what will take you into the next room. Knowledge, until you get up and apply it, will do nothing for you. Knowledge is just a sense of I know. Toppers, you ever met a topper in your life? Or somebody that's always got a story on top that they can top everything, they can trump everything that you're speaking about. Holy smokes, man, they're tough to have a conversation with. Knowledge, but what about beliefs? And you've done it. There's where it really comes down to. You know, I've had a lot of stories come from guys, and they go, yeah, this happened and that happened, and I'm going, well, my belief is that I've never seen that, so I'm not sure that. But knowledge is, I guess it's possible if, but the knowledge until you go out and see it, there's quite a difference there. I can tell you the experience. I can tell you what I believe about Alaska because I've been there several times, this certain area up there, you know, on the island I've been. But the knowledge, you can tell me all day that, hey, there's this many square miles and this much, but till you've been there, you haven't really experienced it. And so it's your beliefs that will take you everywhere, even in religious knowledge, even in church knowledge, until you've been there with the Lord, till you've been there with the Word. It's your beliefs, your true limbic beliefs. And when I say limbic, that's the core beliefs that you grew up with as a child. By the time you're six, these limbic beliefs are set in stone inside. And that's why the Word of God talks about coming and renewing the mind. What he wants to do is renew these limbic beliefs See, my limbic belief about God from my dad was, it was corrupt. Now, he was a good God. He'd take you to heaven if you did all the good things. But if you did anything bad, you were. I found my hand basket, and I was on the way to hell. Okay. But once I found God, and He began to renew my God, we began to renew this limbic system, then things changed for me. My thoughts changed, my actions changed, the way I looked at God changed. So my beliefs, therefore, I began to walk life out totally different. All right. And then at what depth of connection are you willing to go with each other? At what depth of connection are you willing to go with Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the world around you? How deep are you willing to go? And if you aren't willing to go, ask yourself, why don't I want to go deeper there? Is there a fear? I talk to a lot of people, and they, you know what? I love this God you talk about is good, but I'm fearful that if I give him too much, then he's going to make me sell everything and go off to a foreign land and be a missionary there. You know, if that ain't in your heart, I'm not sure he wants you there. You're going to cause him more problems there than you're ever going to do him good. You know, I've talked to several here that actually are my friends here, and they said, you know what, I really don't have a desire to go to a foreign land. I really don't have a desire to go on a mission trip to Nicaragua. That's fine. Do you have a desire to go on a mission trip here in the States, here in Louisville, here in Kentucky where the tornadoes have hit, over in, you know, there's so much to do here as well. But let those that God calls there, God knows how to call your heart if he wants it. But if you aren't willing, I don't think he's going to fight you for that. The only thing he's going to really fight is all of hell to have you as one of his sons and daughters. When you are called, he's going to fight with everything within. One of the first songs they sang here this morning, if you find your bed in Sheol, you know, if you make your bed in Hades, God will come by to go, hey, you want out of here? Let me take you to a better place. Let me show you what's up there. So then I also want to talk about greater fruitfulness now. We're going to go over to John chapter 15, Pastor, the verse that he based this on. We're going to go to chapter 15, verse 15. No, I guess it's verse 1. I think it's chapter 15, verse 1. You got me there already? You guys are good. I don't even have to. So this talks about the greater fruitfulness of where we're going. And I am the true vine, it says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, God, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That'll stop a lot of us right there when he begins to do the trimming back. Because when he prunes, if you've ever seen someone prune, it isn't a very attractive accessory to the plant. It looks like, boy, you took it down to bare bones there. It looks pretty nasty. But he cuts it back to cut away the excess that are suckers in your life. He cuts back and pulls away the dead wood and the dead things that are there. And he prunes that it may be more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So that main vine has to go all the way and be planted in good soil. And in that soil, all the nutrition will come through it, all the water will come through it, all everything that you as part of that vine will need to bear great fruitfulness. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing, he says. Third, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Whew, that's one destiny I do not want to be a part of. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Again, to have greater fruitfulness, to be a part of the vine, to be pruned back, to bring greater fruit, we need to be a part of something that's bigger than just a piece of vine that's growing out. We've got to have direction. My son-in-law, Jeff, he does the blackberries, and he's interesting to watch. You go out there in the spring, and he's got posts, and he's got long wires and cables through there, and then he brings them up, and he wraps them around there, and he spends hours upon hours out there tending to these things and getting them so that that if you call him and say, hey, Jeff, you got any blackberries? Yeah, they'll be ready here, you know, mid-June or whenever. And you can just go out there, and these things are just laid out. They're so perfect. But if you look, trace all the way back from everything that's wound around, and you go to the main plant, it's planted solid. You are a part of that vine. What you're going to pick is a part, that fruit is a part of that vine that you're going to pull off all these branches. And they've been tended to. They were cut back early, and all the hard work was done, and now the fruit is ready. And that's, as a life group, that's what we're trying to do, is get more plants that are out there, so to speak, so that you can graft into and begin to be a part of something that's bigger than you. Smaller churches inside of a bigger church at the end of the day. So it'll be many small churches inside. Because in the early days, our life group, I mean, that's where life really happened. That's when celebrations happened, birthday parties. When someone passed away, there was great care taken care of from that life group. Someone, I remember several times, someone mentioned, hey, prayer request, yeah, we'll go around and, my electricity's about to be shut off. I lost my job, and next thing I know, one of the guys says, hey, can we throw a hat in the middle of the floor? Yeah, go ahead. And before long, that need was met. That electric bill was paid. And that's you know, the church can do some of that, but it really comes down to who's watching over me, who's caring for me, who's feeding me every day. And the beautiful thing that I liked what we're going to do here, if you were going to go to a life group this next week, that what I'm speaking on today, you would have notes from. And that would be what you would be speaking on. You would take this so many more depths slower than where I'm going to take it today. You would actually be able to sit in that group and ask questions and get answers. Or hey, this is what I feel about that, or that's what I think about that. And that's where life really begins to get interesting. And that's where you find the abiding together. That word abide is interesting. It's to accept or act in accordance with. If you're disconnected from that true vine, you're not accepting or acting like anything but a piece of rubbish that's going to be drug off and burnt. To abide, it even went deeper. I couldn't really find what I was looking for. To abide means to live within. To be attached at a deeper, heartfelt level, to go into Jen, if I can use you for an example this morning. Yeah, you. Jen was talking about some of her students in her class, and I think as she was listening to one of the mothers that was going through a cancer situation, plus dealing with everything, she was abiding at a depth that doesn't happen unless you're going to much deeper. You've spent time, you've groomed that relationship, and I would not have been able to go in and have that same conversation. Most of us wouldn't. But But Jen has been abiding with this family, with these students, for so long. I could bring one of you guys and send you in to lead one of my men's groups, and they'd kind of just sit and stare at you and going, who are you and what are you here for and what are you doing? You have not abided with us through the good, the bad, the ugly. You have not been there when we've had to pick ourselves up off the floor, and he's been there in the junk with us, helping clean us off or encouraging us. The depth of the abiding is so interesting. So just to say we're connected to something, that's good. But I think it's I'm with you, you're with me. As Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's what that abiding in a smaller group. So we begin, and if I have that, there becomes greater fruitfulness comes out of that, and a deeper connection. A lot of these guys, there ain't anything I couldn't call them in the middle of the night and ask them. And if they could come up with it, I'd have it because we've abided. And they with me as well. Does that make sense to you guys? So in the abiding, we are side by side. And it's deeper than an adoption. I'm just part of this family because I've been here and been through it all with them, and they've just accepted me. We've got children that we've known since their parents were young, and so we've known them 20. We're Papa Nana. You cannot convince these kids anything different. You know, when they get married, hey, Papa, will you come and marry me? When they have something bad, hey, Papa, can you call me? I need to talk something through with you. That is the abiding. That is the greater fruitfulness that came from deep connections that started with, I want to be a part of your life way back when. There's one more verse here. There you go, the appreciation of the mystery. This is over in Ephesians. Chapter 3, starting with verse 14. So, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches and glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you being rooted in the depth, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, him be glory in the church in Christ to all generations forever and ever. It's for this reason that Christ has called us, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We are the sons and daughters, the great mystery of being the sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as that, we can ask anything. And there's going to be great fruitfulness come from these things that we ask from the Father. There's going to be deep connections that are going to be come through. And God wants to mesh us all together. So as we go forward here, the things I want you to remember today as we go forward, are you asking more questions to go deeper with your relationships with others? What fruit is falling from your tree? Each of us has a tree, so to speak, that we're a part of. But what's falling from your tree? Is the fruit that you identified falling from your tree the same fruit that others would identify falling from your tree? Sometimes I want to ask my wife, what do you see falling from my tree? And I may not ask it in those exact words, but how do you see me acting? How do you see me carrying myself? those are hard questions for us to ask one another. Because it all comes down to fear of what I may hear. Fear of what they may truly say. You know, my wife's not here to tear me down. She's really here to lift me up. But if this will help me get up, I want to hear the truth. Hey, am I doing better than I did last year? If you had to grade me in our relationship, where would we be? I never get an A+. She'll always tell me if you hear. He never gets an A+ because there's always room for improvement. Always. And she's very generous, even if she gave me an A on a lot of things. But the bottom line is we're scared to ask, and we're scared to ask each other to go deeper with our connections. You get someone who can ask you the deep questions and will do it in a crowd, holy smokes, you can suck the room right out of the crowd. It's really interesting to be in those settings. And then this is the question. I always like to ask the question, what's it unto? So at the end of the day, what is the Lord speaking to us? Deeper connections, greater fruitfulness. What's it unto for us as a church in 2022? Does that mean that our doors may be more wide open for come as you are? Come no matter what you look like, what your race, creed, religion is. Just come, come, come. So we've got to ask that question. What is this unto? And then the question I will ask you as an audience this morning, and those of you that are on the video this morning watching, can you get on board with this vision this year that the Lord has given New Song? Can you get on board with that for us as a body and for you as an individual and your family? Is this something that's worthy for us as you hear us talk about it week after week, month after month through this next year? Is this going to be something that you can build upon in your own personal life? Deeper connections, greater fruitfulness. And then I want you to begin to dream, what could deeper connections look like? If you can get on board with that, what could that look like? What could that mean for you personally, you as a couple, you and your family? And then what could that look like for us as a church to have deeper connections? And then the greater fruitfulness. What could that mean for you as you begin to dream for 2022, where God wants to take you and who he wants you to speak to? I don't think it's by chance so much that we get to talk to so many people. I think it's by a divine appointment. And we either get it or we blow it a lot of times. A lot of times it feels more spiritual. I've had those appointments to feel, oh man, this is a God thing. I can feel this deep within my soul. Then the next time is, oh Lord, I was really challenged on that one. That one there I could have let skip right on by. But just because you're uncomfortable in something doesn't mean there isn't some good fruit that's there. There isn't some good stuff that's going on. So as I closed this morning, I pray that this has been helpful in some way. I pray that you are on board with us as a church. Because I want to connect deeper this next year. I want to see more fruit come from my life. I want to do more activities that would bring us closer together. And life group's just one of those ways. So life group's going to be very interesting. We're going to have some in different demographics around the city. That's just going to be a natural thing. And you'll be able to go wherever you want. We're not going to sign you. You're not, if you're A through Z or A through B, you go over here and you guys go over there. No, you go where you are comfortable. You go where your tolerances of time and the night and all those things. And on the way through, guys, we're going to be looking for host homes. We're going to be looking for leaders that'll teach. We're going to be looking for those that are just faithful and will just come out and be a part. And those that'll be, you know, so we're going to have some really good times in those. And so we just want you to think and pray about what the Lord would have you do in this season as we go forward. So Carr and I are definitely going to be a part of it. We're already talking to a host home. And Man, that's maybe where we start. And then as that multiplies, Gar and I, you know, we can leave and go somewhere else and start another one. See, that's how this multiplication of this thing's going to work as we go on. But I'm going to tell you, it's hard to leave a group that you've invested. We really struggled with that. But I want you to know it's fruitful when you do that. That's part of that pruning process, pruning back the excess. Because there was one at one point our group had 36 people, kids and all, and that was a busy, busy thing. I think it was said by someone the other day in a meeting I had, that's kind of like a small church. Yeah, it kind of was. You know what? When you think of it that way, when it's put that way. But I want to have a small group, and I want to get to know people better and have more fruit. And I really just want to do what God wants us to do through this next season. So pray with us on this. See where he'll lead you and guide you. And let's stand and let's pray for you, and we'll let you go today. Lord, you were really good to us, and thank you. Thank you, Lord, that most of the folks didn't fall asleep on me today, and they were paid attention, Lord, and that your word, Lord, it never goes forth. Your scripture, dear Father, is alive, dear God, and it just continues to go deep and grow. So lead us and guide us this morning, dear God, as we go forth. Bless us in this weather, dear God, with this rain, dear Father. Thank you for the rain that brings life and it's part of. Bless each and every one this week. And Father, may we be able to grasp a hold of Emmanuel, God, with us through this season. May we be able, dear God, to process and to grab a hold of deeper connections, greater fruitfulness, dear God. And Lord, as we have prayer and fasting, dear God, through these next couple of weeks, those that can come out to prayer, Lord, bless them as they come, Lord, from 7 to 8, Monday through Friday, dear God. Bless this time that we'll have, dear God. Bless, dear God, these boards, dear God, that have the prayer requests. And may we see these, Father, may as we come and we pray and we touch and we just call upon you for each one of these cards, dear Lord, may we see prayers that are answered. Many of these prayers, dear God, some of these prayers, dear God, have been people that have waited upon you year after year, dear God. But Lord, you're never late. You always use the opportune time and circumstances. So lead us and guide us, Lord, in your holy name we pray. Amen.